Hi, I'm Jeanette Seikel. I'm a professor of language and linguistics. And I'm also an avid language learner. Well, at least I used to be, until I settled into a permanent teaching post and had a kid and somehow did not have the time or inclination to learn languages for a number of years. But this changed about a year and a half ago, when pretty much out of the blue I started to learn Chinese. This story follows along with my language learning, from knowing near to nothing about Chinese to being able to speak the language and actually even recording a podcast in Chinese together with a colleague. By now you will probably have realized that I'm not a native speaker of English. I'm originally from Germany, and despite having lived in Britain for over 20 years, I have kept some of my accent. Was that conscious or subconscious, or possibly both? Why, you might ask, don't I work hard on getting rid of this accent to come across as a native speaker? This is one of the many questions about language learning and speaking that I'm looking at in this podcast series. It is what some may call an autoethnography, which means documenting what I have experienced myself during the process of language learning, and then reflecting on language learning from both my personal perspective as a learner and my professional perspective as a linguist who understands the theories behind the learning. Well, or at least she thinks she does. Do those theories really add up? What works for me and what doesn't? Many people have asked me how language learning works and why their efforts sometimes don't seem to be paying off. Is it just me as a linguist having a natural talent for language learning? Or is there another secret that will miraculously transform the learning into a fun experience without too much pressure and with great results? Listen in. This podcast series is made for you. Maybe you have or you are intending to learn a language yourself. And maybe you're interested in Chinese. Maybe, just maybe, you're merely interested in the process of learning itself. I really hope my story will inspire you to pick up a language and enjoy the learning process. In this first episode, I'm going to look at the backstory and at how I started learning Chinese. It all came about pretty much by chance. I was in a meeting to approve a partnership with the university in China. This was one of the many tasks of the leadership role I held at the time. We were in an online environment, and it was incredibly early in the UK. The autumn morning was only just starting to dawn outside, but it wasn't going to be easy for our collaborators in China either, because they would have to work well into the evening due to the time difference. We had just watched a slick video presentation by the other institution, and next we were going to meet a handful of students who would tell us about their experiences at their university. This would help us inform our overall decision. Meeting the students is a typical part of such an approval meeting, and it allows the committee to form a balanced view of the institution. As the student session started, it was clear that something wasn't going to plan. One of the students seemed to have no sound, and she appeared to be quite flustered. I assumed she must have prepared carefully for the event and trying to make a good impression on the UK delegates. This effort was now thwarted by the technology playing up. I generally like putting students at ease, making sure they feel supported to do their best, so I did what I would normally do. I smiled and I spoke to her calmly, explaining that we'd wait for her to sort out her technical difficulties. Yet she appeared to struggle to understand my English, and my words did not seem to help at all. I expect that she would probably have been perfectly fine in any other circumstances, but she was evidently unable to take anything in while trying to sort out her technical problems. And at that moment, I wished I had been able to talk to her in Chinese to calm her down and tell her not to worry. If this had been a meeting with many of our other partner institutions across the world, I would probably have been able to say a few words in the local language. In this case, however, pretty much all I knew in Mandarin Chinese was ni hao, hello, literally you good, which really wouldn't have helped in this situation. Luckily, one of my Chinese colleagues was there and stepped in, offering some technical advice in Mandarin and eventually suggesting she use her phone instead. And she joined the meeting, which solved the issue, and the student visually calmed down. As At that moment, though, I felt incredibly deflated. I thought, how can it be that I, as a linguist who has studied nearly 50 languages from all over the world so far and spoke maybe 20 of those, barely knew a word of one of the biggest languages of the world, and a language I was now encountering very frequently as my university's collaboration with China increased. As the panel meeting continued, I started to listen to my Chinese colleagues' pronunciation of English words, trying to imagine what the Chinese sound system would be like. I felt transported to a different world. I let my imagination run wild, and I pondered what it would be like if I had to learn Chinese quickly. For example, if having to teach in China in a year from now, would I even be able to do that? Would I be able to learn this supposedly most difficult language? And how long would it take me? At that exact moment, something quite extraordinary happened. For the first time in years, I saw myself clearly from the outside. A tired, burned-out leader sitting there in an online meeting while pondering the ins and outs of language learning, something that used to come so naturally to me, but that I hadn't done for many years. Rather, work had taken me away from my passion of linguistics, and it had seemed right at the time. I was a single mother with precious little time to spare, and I needed a stable and predictable work pattern. When the opportunity arose to move into a leadership position, I took on the task with great enthusiasm. Yet 6 years down the line, I felt lost. I had been working non-stop, most of the time troubleshooting essential and usually extremely urgent problems. And I had lost sight of my own journey, somewhere along the way. At the time, my faculty was earmarked for a merger with a larger, much more powerful entity, and that started a drawn-out reorganization. There was a sword hanging over my head, and I felt vulnerable in my role for the first time in years. It was a time to do well, to carry what remained of my faculty over into the new structures. I felt an immense sense of responsibility for my co-workers and the staff in the faculty. But at the same time, I had reached middle age. I was 49 and a half, and I had suddenly started to reevaluate what I was doing. I wasn't deliberately looking for it, but I stumbled upon it, like so many good things in life. A promotion round had been announced, and I was able to put myself forward to be promoted to full professor. And this almost coincided with the Chinese approval panel. I had just worked on my case for promotion, and I'd been reminded of how much fun teaching and researching linguistics were. Could I go back to my roots, my passions? The step from imagining myself learning Chinese to actually starting to learn the language was almost imperceivable. It all happened within a split second, as in a blur. I just had this immense urge to learn Chinese, a feeling I hadn't had for a long time. And immediately, as I took my first shaky steps, I was hooked. It was wonderful. I was starting to learn a new language. There was this unfamiliar pronunciation, those unfamiliar first words. A year later, my life had changed so much more than I would have ever imagined. I was now a full professor of linguistics, back to researching and teaching in the field I so loved. And I also had a new language in my repertoire, namely Mandarin Chinese. Initially, I had thought that maybe I would learn just a little bit of Chinese just for fun, but I simply couldn't stop. I had fallen in love with the language, and I kept on going. I was keen to learn more all the time, to get better at speaking, to get better at understanding and reading and writing. But what is the point where one truly speaks a language? Is it being able to read a book or watch a film without the need to look up words in a dictionary? Or is it to have a conversation? Or does it mean native-like fluency, an accent indistinguishable from locals? Is there ever really a point where one truly speaks a language? In my opinion, when learning a language, it's not so much about speaking with a native-like ability, but the tiny successes along the way that matter the most. And there were many points I considered successes on my Chinese learning journey, such as being able to extend basic greetings and read a few characters at the beginning. Then, after 3 months, understanding some words and basic sentences in Chinese films. I was speaking very rudimentary Chinese with a group of PhD students after about 7 months. I managed to understand carefully pronounced Chinese podcasts and videos aimed at intermediate learners after about 10 months. Then I started to be able to read newspapers and got the gist of each story without the need for a dictionary. And then finally, after a year, I was able to have a meaningful conversation, exclusively in Chinese, for over an hour. So, did I learn to speak Chinese fluently within a year? Well, no. Did I learn it fluently after a year and a half? Well, it depends how you define fluent, because if having a relatively fluent conversation without too many interruptions is our measuring stick, then the answer to this question would be yes. However, I was still a very long way off the native-like ideal of a speaker without an accent, who would be able to have advanced conversations about everything and anything without any difficulty. And indeed, when I was tired, I sometimes felt that I could not speak Chinese at all. My understanding of the spoken language had become pretty good, but I felt that my speaking ability lagged behind. And frustratingly, I could have perfectly formed elaborate conversations in my head, but when encountering situations where I had to multitask, speaking Chinese while troubleshooting or the like, I sometimes thought that I was not able to speak the language at all. Indeed, it felt like the student in the approval meeting must have felt, in the spotlight, wanting to do well but struggling to perform in the other language. So by learning Chinese, I had put myself in a student's shoes. I had followed what my students have to do, namely learn something new and then apply that knowledge. Fail. Get up. Do better. As an educator, this is one of the best lessons one can learn. I didn't just learn for myself during this process, but by putting myself in the position of a learner, I was able to experience the process my students were going through and applying that knowledge to how I teach. When things go wrong, or when we don't do as well as we thought we'd do, we can feel really deflated. But at the same time, these are invaluable moments of learning. I learned to let these situations spur me on. Maybe this was because my language skills were so much more advanced in my head than when I used the language in actual situations. I was always striving for the better, feeling the intense urge to learn more. Getting nervous and making silly mistakes is normal. It can be really embarrassing, but at the same time, this offers a fantastic opportunity to practice and to learn more. I learned to give up a bit of my dignity in the process, to put myself in the position of the lesser and the one not in the know. And for the first time in years, I allowed myself to play and not take myself too seriously. And indeed, once I had accepted that I was going to make mistakes, I stopped caring about them quite so much. And after a while, there were fewer and fewer of them, and what had once seemed impossible had become natural. All the way through the process, there was that feeling of success. I had reached another milestone, I was progressing. This success then spurred me on to do even better, even when encountering difficulties on the way. Learning, we know, is never straightforward. We have to go through periods of repetition, maybe even forgetting something that we thought was rather basic and that we had already mastered. In language learning, this is just the same. We need periods of reflection, applying our learning to progress. It's all part of the process. If we take the pressure away from the final result, the being able to speak a language fluently or the like, learning can become so much more enjoyable. Let the goal of language learning be the process itself, going back and forth, small successes, big successes, some setbacks, yeah, but overall a progression towards being able to speak more fluently, understand more, use the language in its various forms. The best thing is looking back to 3 months ago and seeing how far you have come, how much you can say now or understand now compared to back then. This is one of the most gratifying feelings there is. This is a story of my journey going back to my roots of language learning, learning Mandarin Chinese, and see how far I could go within a year, within a year and a half. I will be talking about the techniques and tools that helped me, the interesting people I met along the way, my new experiences and challenges, and how I went from basic conversations in my head to fluent interactions with native speakers. I'm here to share these with you, and I hope you'll be inspired to enjoy the learning process. I hope you'll also enjoy my many failures and I won't be holding back sharing those with you. I hope you have fun listening to this podcast.